Welcome to The Growth Zone, where we explore dauntless leadership, dramatic business growth, and the strategies and tactics you can use to grow your business in Japan and beyond. I'm Stephen Bleistein. Are you ready to grow? Let's get started. Honda just announced its first net loss since listing on the Tokyo Stock Exchange in 1957. Let that sink in. Nearly 70 years of profitability, and this is the year it ended. The company canceled three EV models it had been engineering for years, writing off up to 2.5 trillion yen in a single fiscal year. The Ohio factory had been retooled. The battery plant in Jeffersonville was ramping. The supply base had been structured. Honda came within months of the production line and stepped back anyway. They calculated that a 2.5 trillion yen write-down was better than launching into a market that had moved against the original business case. That fact alone is worth sitting with. This is not a story about a company that failed to try. This is a story about the difference between boldness and prudence, and what happens when you have the first without the second. First, let's make a distinction that matters enormously in strategy and rarely gets made clearly enough. Caution and prudence are not the same thing. Caution mitigates risk by compromising strategic objectives. Aim lower, and you're more likely to succeed. Or so the thinking goes. But caution only exposes you to being blindsided by someone more aggressive. Prudence is different. Prudence is tenacious. In prudence, you never compromise strategic objectives. What you do is develop contingencies for when your assumptions turn out to be wrong, and you stay alert enough to recognize when that moment has actually arrived. Honda's EV strategy was built on assumptions that were reasonable in 2022. U.S. EV demand would keep accelerating. California's mandates would hold. Federal incentives would stay in place. Honda could close the software gap with Chinese manufacturers. By 2025, Honda's own CEO was acknowledging the shift. He said they had anticipated 30% EV sales by 2030, and described what happened as a five-year delay compared to their first expectations. Those are the words of a leader who understood what the evidence was saying. But the question a prudent strategy would have demanded, much earlier, is this. If this assumption fails, what is our next move? There's no indication Honda had a credible answer ready. The result was not a pivot. It was an emergency exit from a program that had already consumed billions in supplier commitments, factory retooling, and development costs that will never be recovered. Second, self-disruption requires knowing what you're letting go of and when. Vilmorin Mikado, the Japan subsidiary of French agrotech innovator Limagrain, abandoned its profitable agricultural materials trading business, more than half of its total annual revenue, to focus on disruptive innovation in seeds. Revenue dropped by over 50%. Profits increased 60%. The difference between that story and Honda's is not the willingness to let go. Honda demonstrated extraordinary willingness to let go of cash, of products, of partnerships, of a Sony joint venture that was canceled alongside everything else. The difference is what they were letting go of and when. Vilmorin Mikado released a profitable present to build a better future. Honda released a costly future it could no longer sustain, years after the evidence began demanding a harder look at the underlying assumptions. Letting go is not inherently virtuous. It depends entirely on the judgment that governs it, and on whether that judgment is applied in time. Third, bold strategy needs a testing mechanism built in from the start. Strategy should be audacious. Leaders should start with bold visions of the future and work backwards, not survey the present and work forward. Working forward tempts you to compromise before you even begin. But working backwards from a bold vision is not the same as insulating that vision from evidence. The question that bold strategy demands, continuously, not just at launch, is this. Which of our assumptions are being confirmed? Which are being contradicted? And what do we do if the critical ones fail? Honda's business case for its Zero Series rested on 2022-era EV adoption projections. Those projections were being materially revised by the market from 2024 onward. Honda's existing EV, the Prologue, sold around 39,000 units in 2025, against more than 179,000 for comparable gasoline models. That is not a rounding error. That is a signal. And the company's own statement acknowledged it was unable to deliver products that offered value for money better than newer EV manufacturers, a competitive gap that doesn't close with more investment in the same approach. The lesson is not that Honda was wrong to be bold, it's that bold strategy requires explicit, named assumptions, and equally explicit triggers for when those assumptions have failed. Not a vague sense that the environment has changed. A specific pre-agreed threshold. If US EV market share does not reach X by Y, we reassess the Ohio investment. Without that mechanism, boldness becomes stubbornness by default. There is no decision point, only a crisis. So, here's the question worth asking. And I mean really sitting down and asking. What would have to be true for your current strategy to fail? And do you have a credible answer for what you would do if it did? That is not a counsel of timidity. It is the opposite. Name your assumptions. Establish the triggers that would tell you one has failed. Build contingencies before you need them, not after. The leaders who sustain bold strategy over time are tenacious about the destination and ruthlessly pragmatic about the route. The greatest strategic risk is not being too bold. It is being bold in the wrong direction for too long, without the discipline to notice. That is not a failure of ambition. It is a failure of prudence. And in strategy, it is the most expensive mistake you can make. That's a wrap on today's Growth Zone. Keep growing, keep leading, dauntlessly. I'm Stephen Bleistein, and I'll see you in the next episode.